Let's pray. Most awesome God, we come into your presence knowing we don't really deserve all the love, the extravagant love that you pour on us. But we thank you for what you did for us, and we thank you for the faith that we have, that you journey and walk with us. Lord, today we have many thoughts. We certainly are so aware that we had a church building that we could come to today. We saw so many people that their churches were destroyed, but yet their first thought was that they wanted to be in a building with other Christians this morning. So we pray for all those people that were opening their hearts to the victims of the tornado and the people that lost their lives, the families and friends that are affected. And for the people opening their churches and being Christ to one another this morning. And Lord, we have to thank you for the safety, for the wisdom of the principal at the high school that released the children early and that all were safe. For the bus driver that turned around and went back to a private home so the children on our bus could find safety. Lord, you are in and around us all the time, but it's these things that make us so aware. And in our own community, we certainly ask this morning that you be with Pastor Cutting and with Joan as she helps take care of him and bring him back to health. We pray that you will restore him and bring him back to us for this special season as he feels so called to minister to us. We also ask for a grandson, Brady, who has serious flu. We pray that you will be with him, give him the rest, whatever meds he needs, and that you will just provide healing within his body. Be with those caring for him and help them not to worry, but to just turn their trust to you. We ask that you will just be with each of us in this special Lenten time. These 40 days where, Lord, we are trying to walk closer to you. We just ask that you be with us, forgive us those sins that just seem to happen, and help us to turn away and walk anew in this wonderful journey with you. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the musicians. We thank you for everybody who woke up this morning and said, I want to be in the house of the Lord. Now we ask that you be with the rest of this service and that it all bring honor and glory to you. In your name we pray. Amen. And now let us all join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Good morning. Welcome to this second Sunday in Lent. As Christians, Lent is so very important to us. It is the 40 days that we have to renew our faith and renew our journey with Christ. And I thought it was only fitting that we renew this journey in the absence of Pastor Cutting. And so I'd like to just recall the Ash Wednesday service. Pastor Cutting reminded us there how important it is to examine our Christian walk. And at that time, he compared our Christian walk to a race and emphasized that it is a race. It is not a ride, not a free ride. We don't get that. To run the race with Christ, we need to have God's grace in our lives. And the only action God requires from us is to get rid of anything that's holding us back from being all that we can be. We learned that any habit or sin or behavior, all those things that detract from our daily walks, needs to be acknowledged and forgiven. So that night, We all wrote on a piece of paper the one or more things that were hindering our daily walk as disciples. Things like greed or worry, anger, gossip, pride. Our pastor's favorite was impatience. Mine is procrastination. We all have that habit or thing that just gets in our way. Perhaps it's spending too much time watching television or doing other things that take away from what our daily walk needs to be. We wrote those things on a little piece of paper and we brought them forward. He had a metal urn lined with foil, and he burned those things that were getting in our way, which was a symbolic gesture of letting go, freeing us up, lightening our load so that we could get on this amazing race. If you missed that service, which started our 40-day journey, I encourage you to spend some time examining your life to see what might be weighing you down and keeping you from fulfilling God's purpose for your life. If you were here at the service, and you're at all like me, I hope you're not, you tend to go back and pick up that habit and just not commit it the way you need to commit it. Use your time wisely. Don't worry. Give it to God. So at once we give it to Christ, just try to let it go and go on and keep celebrating this 40 days. Then last Sunday, Pastor led us into the first Sunday in Lent with a scripture from Job. His message on Job is a tough one. How God allowed Satan to test Job, the godly man who the scriptures tell us was like none other on the earth. Satan was allowed to take his children, his grandchildren, all of his wealth and his health. He was sitting outside among by a fire, his body covered with sores, and Job's wife said, "Do you still persist with your integrity? Curse God and die." Yet Job, who ran his amazing race with God and who was always praising God, said, "Shall we receive the good at the hand of God and not receive the bad?" And there again this week, as I was praying and thinking about this, I thought of the tornadoes and I thought of car accidents and just things that get in our way. We really like to praise God when things are going great, but boy, when things are going bad, it's just tough. And we all can relate, and we all have those things. I know I retired after a long career and within 9 months lost my husband of 40 years. I mean, that's like a whammy, whammy, whammy. But you know, I didn't leave God because I had Christian friends and a family around me. And as you go through things, and I know even in my short time here at Sanford, there have been so many funerals and so many illnesses and so many things happening in your lives. But this family of God and our pastor is there with us and walks us through those bad times. Not that we could be like Job, but that is the goal out there, and I believe that's why that story is recorded in Scripture. We do have to receive the bad and the good and continue to praise the Lord. Job did not sin with his lips. He was a godly witness. What a message for us to remember during Lent. So today we're in the second Sunday in Lent, and as a lot of United Methodist churches, I also follow the lectionary, like our pastor does. And so the scripture today is the one that we would have had if pastor was here. So we continue our 40-day journey today, looking specifically at Lent in our Christian lives, remembering that we have 40 days plus 6 Sundays to prepare ourselves. These 40 days is symbolic for many ways, because that was like when Jesus' trial and preparation in the wilderness after he was baptized and before he began his powerful ministry. And we don't want to think about how his ministry might have been impacted had he not spent those 40 days in the wilderness. And it's a reminder to us that we just don't hop out of bed in the morning and go out and do great things and be blessed all the time. We really do need to seek God in prayer and in Bible study and in communion with Christian friends. And that is how God uses us when we run into that person in the grocery store that we need to talk to, or the little things that God will point out to us that we need to do to be his hands and feet here. Lent prepares each of us so we can fully appreciate the promise and celebration of Easter Sunday. And you know, a lot of jokes go out about the C&E Christians. They show up at Christmas and Easter. And I say praise God for them that they come and they know that it's a Christian celebration and they're here. But I think for those of us Christians that faithfully attend church and study the scripture, our Easter celebration is just bigger and better and more exciting because we've walked and been in the path of preparing our hearts. So when we come in Sunday morning and the choir sings and the lilies are here or however we celebrate, it's a powerful time to celebrate and see the banners and just be overwhelmed with what Easter means to us. So as we prepare, that's the excitement we have. We commit to carrying out God's will daily in our lives, and we look around and respond. So the scriptures today that Judy read, the first one came from our Old Testament, which is one of my very favorites. And verses 1 and 2 in the NIV, the New International Version that I use, says, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet God?" I've always lived by the water. I was born into this world. My parents had 5 acres on the Pine River. And so our dining room table just overlooked the river, and we watched all kinds of wildlife, from deer and possums and raccoons and things I don't like to think about, like muskrats and other things. But there was always activity down along the riverbank. Because why? Because all animals need to go to the water. They need to, you know, drink and fulfill their thirst. And so I thought it was a wonderful example. And even now I live a quarter of a mile, have for 45 years, on the other side of the Pine River. But now I have beautiful deer and a lot more things I can see. But animals are drawn to the water. And like many of you, I believe, live on Sanford Lake, or you're around the lake a lot, and you see the same things. And it just ministers to you when you see, I don't know, ducks and geese and fish jumping in the lake. And I mean, it just, to me, I just love the water. It feeds my soul. And so this scripture, I think, is very fitting today as we think about Lent, because it reminds us that just like the deer who pants to get a drink of water from the stream, we also thirst at a very deep level to have God's presence in our life. Without our daily scripture reading and prayer and our Christian friends, we would dry up spiritually. And I've seen people do that. They have something really bad in their life, and it's bad. And they just turn away and blame God, and they dry up spiritually. And so we need to continue to pray for those people and help them come back into the fold of Christ and know that God is here and God is present and God does feed us. Thus, Lent helps us bring us back into the focus that we need to go to the well, at church, in the Bible, and with our friends. And in verse 5, it goes on to say the results of if you aren't at the water drinking. "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, and I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." And the psalmist who wrote this was in exile. As you can tell, a lot of the psalms are full of laments. He was somewhere north of Mount Hermon, longing to be on the mountaintop with God. Not sensing God's presence, the psalmist expresses this deep grief, and so we are reminded to put our hope in God. Sometimes when we're going through very sad or challenging times, we lose our hope. And I've lost my hope from time to time, and I've had friends that have certainly lost theirs. But we have to band together and pray our way back, and understand that God never leaves us. His presence is always there. And when we question if God is really aware of my pain and your pain, we need to trust that God is there. Ask your friends, one or two or three, or someone to pray for your situation, because those are the times that we all know there are no footprints in the sand, because we are being carried by God. The second lectionary scripture for today is found in the New Testament, and that's Matthew 8:31-38. And here is I really believe we can relate with Peter here. It says, how can we think about our own life of faith in the light of Mark's gospel? Because it's more fun to talk about the ministry of Jesus, his wonderful parables, and how Jesus went about healing the sick, how he loved the children around him. He performed miracles, fed the 5,000. And I know I was in the Holy Lands for a couple of weeks several years ago, and to walk where Jesus walked in Samaria and around the Sea of Galilee, and when you read the scriptures, we were in the Garden of Eden and saw where the rock was rolled away. You just have a sense of the scriptures coming alive for you. And so that's the exciting part, the when Jesus walked and talked and was out on the Sea of Galilee fishing with his disciples. But to the disciples, the ministry was about this person. They understood he was their Messiah, he was a helper, he performed miracles, he was wise, he could talk in with the best of the scribes, and he sat with sinners and he cared about women. He was just this wonderful Messiah. His ministry is one they love to follow him and love the model as he loved people first. But during Lent, something happens. We come into this serious time, not the fun time of all the preaching and the parables and the things that we read about that make Jesus real to us. So we question ourselves with what does it mean to be a faithful disciple? We know what Job was, but we're going to hear about one of the disciples who really questioned this, and he was with Jesus. In Mark, we learn that Jesus was more than a great teacher. He tells us, and he's starting to tell us in this scripture today, he is the Messiah. The Jews were waiting for a Messiah at that time. They were tired of all the Roman oppression. They wanted to be free. Life was hard. But the details of how that would happen needed to be explained by Jesus to his disciples. Yes, he was the Messiah, but when they were here at Caesarea Philippi, Jesus decides it's the right time to explain to his disciples, and there were other followers gathered a little further away, about what it really means to be the Messiah, what it meant to come down and be here and walk on earth. He says, there will be great suffering. I will be rejected by the chief elders, the chief priests, the scribes. And he told them very plainly in this scripture that he would be killed, and after 3 days he would rise again. Well, if we were there with the disciples and with Mark, we wouldn't have liked it either. We probably would have run and said, no, that can't be. You're the Messiah. I'm following you, and life is good and happy, and I want to keep things the way they are. But Jesus was trying to share this with his friends. And I guess it kind of reminds me of when a doctor gives us difficult information and we don't want to hear it. You know, sometimes we have to run away and then come back because it's just too hard to take at that time. And that's the way Peter was feeling. He didn't want to hear this news that Jesus was going to be killed. And they didn't understand about rising on the third day. So the scriptures tell us that Peter rebuked Jesus. Peter couldn't stand hearing this. So he took Jesus aside. He wasn't going to just let this be. And he said to Jesus, no way, this can't be. You are not going to die. You're the Messiah. But Jesus did not like this. And so Jesus had to rebuke him. And so he says, Peter, get out of my way. Satan, get lost. You have no idea how God needs to work this out. So then Jesus called the crowd to join his disciples, and he said, anyone who tends to come to me has to let me lead. Don't run from suffering, embrace it. Follow me, and I will show you how. Self-sacrifice is the way I have to go. It's my way. It's the way I will be able to save you. What good would it do to get everything you want and lose yourself, the real you? What could you ever trade your soul for? And he goes on to say in an NIV, on the Message version, if any of you are embarrassed over me and the way I'm leading you, Know that you'll be an even greater embarrassment to the Son of Man when he arrives in all the splendor of God, his Father, with an army of holy angels. So the message today is the same as it was 2,000 years ago, and stated more clearly, maybe in the one version we're familiar with. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And that is our message today, that we have to take up our cross and follow Jesus. So you might ask, how do I take up my cross and follow Christ? Well, one hint that I might suggest is to be prepared. And we do all understand preparation. Really, that's what the 40 days of Lent is all about. I know the most fun thing I prepare for is a trip. I seem to live from trip to trip. And my next big trip is Italy, May 6th. So I've got the date, and now I have to back up, lose weight, get fit, get on a walking program, save a lot of money. Those are my preparations. And maybe you're planning a retirement party or a wedding, or maybe you're planning a vacation. Maybe you're getting ready to start a new job. Maybe you want to just graduate high school. That's my grandson's goal, who turns 18 today. So we all have a plan, and you've got to prepare for that. So we have a big event coming up. We have Easter. We know Easter Sunday is April 8th. So as you know, and I know some of you here, that means we've got to get the ham and the dinner and, you know, check the china, whatever. But for Christians, we've got time to prepare for April 8th. So as we attend worship and our special Wednesday night services, that's my plug for Pastor Cuddy, we are preparing ourselves for Easter. We have an upper room daily devotional, and I hope all of you have this by your chair or bedside. Living in the Moment, the Lenten devotions the worship team gave us. So we've got many different tools to help us as we prepare for Easter. And that will be more meaningful. And again, the Sanford Christians that are here Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday night and pray and come and participate in the prayer that Sue talked about will come in just full of celebration on Sunday morning. In closing this morning, I'd like to share a devotion from a 2009 Upper Room that summarizes one person's experience during Lent. I'd like to read what the author said as a reminder that we are each on a race, the amazing race, as Pastor Cutting calls it. And any of you that watch The Amazing Race, oh my gosh, I think our race is easy compared to some of them, but that's not one of my favorite shows, but I do like the fact that it isn't a free ride as Christians. We do need to get involved. The writer said, "For me, Lent is like that corner where I realize I'm not heading in the right direction." Of course, for some of us, we get turned around easy anyway and we end up in the wrong direction. "But my life has been buzzing along, taking its ordinary path. Suddenly, it's Lent. It's time to stop, time to think about where am I heading and decide if that is really the direction I want to be going in. In the 6 weeks between now and Easter, I have time to take stock, to ask myself, where am I headed spiritually? Am I allowing God to direct my life? Do I need to listen more? Do I need to be more intentional as I study God's word? Do I need to be more sensitive in my dealings with others? Do I need to serve more?" Lent reminds us to pay attention. We won't figure out all the answers to all our questions, but at least we can change direction if we need to. All we have to do is be willing to say yes and follow where God is leading us. Amen. And now Pam will lead us in Faith We Sing, number 2129. I have decided to follow Jesus.